School Hour. We are looking at the series Portraits of Grace, and today we're beginning to look at the life of Daniel, at the life of Daniel. I was just flipping through the songbook while we were singing and was reminded of the song in there, Dare to Be a Daniel. Wow, there is much to learn from the life of Daniel, his character traits, the way that he conducted himself, the way that he lived his life. Wow, an amazing Bible character that we're going to be looking at. Whether we'll finish his life today, I don't know. And of course, this is just an overview. But the theme of today's lesson is grace to stand. Grace to stand. And if you know anything about the life of Daniel, you know that God's grace enabled him to stand in a time of his life, in an age of his life, also in an area where he was living, that it was not the most popular thing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 4, and then we're going to begin our lesson. The Bible says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. I've underlined those words in my Bible, none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What an amazing statement. What amazing statements are made there about Daniel. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, that word all there, I've circled that word all and written beside it, L-I-E, that was a lie. And we'll look at that a little bit later. The governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace in our life as we think about these portraits of grace. Lord, I'm so thankful today to be saved by grace. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone listening to our services throughout the afternoon that is not saved, oh, that's the only way they're going to be saved. They're not going to be saved through baptism, good works, church membership, or being a good person. They're going to be saved by grace. But Lord, we're also thankful today that you give us the grace to live our lives. We see that in Daniel's life, and I pray that we can apply the truths that we'll learn from his life today to ours. Again, Lord, we thank you for this way that we can meet on the Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel, grace to stand. I'd like to start off by giving you a couple of quotes that have been were given to me quite a long time ago. The first one is by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and it says this, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. One more time, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. And again, as we look at the life of Daniel, that quote will become even more and more of an important quote to us as we think about Daniel's character. The second one is not by a preacher, but it's by a coach by the name of John Wooden. The quote is similar, but not the same. It says this, the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. Boy, isn't that convicting? How do we live our lives when we think no one is watching? You know, Daniel was that way early on in his life, and we'll look at that in just a few moments. Okay, now, as we begin the lesson, keep those quotes in mind. Many times in our life, we do not know if we are growing in grace until something comes into our life that tests our spiritual growth. I must say to you that I believe we are in one of those seasons right now of life. We are in a season of testing to see, do we really trust God? Do we really believe that God is good? Do we really believe that God is able? Do we really have faith in God? And we all go through seasons of life. We've probably never seen a season like this one. Daniel, though, saw one in a very similar way, but in a different way at the same time. And we're going to look at injustice that came into Daniel's life. We're going to look at false accusations that came into Daniel's life. I mean, many times you and me, we are guilty of when some injustice we think comes into our life of getting all bent out of shape. And yet, you know, God allows everything to come into our life for a purpose. God has allowed everything to come into your life for a purpose. Where we are today in our life, for a purpose. Daniel was a young man. Daniel lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. He lived in Jerusalem. I'm a firm believer, although we don't read about it in the Bible, I'm a firm believer that Daniel was reared by godly parents. Now, the reason why I believe that, again, I don't have chapter and verse, but we kind of do have chapter and verse. We just read some of them. Things like were said about Daniel. There was none occasion or fault in him, verse 4. He had an excellent spirit in him, in verse 3. It said that we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, in verse number 5. It said that he was faithful, in verse number 4. And so these are all character qualities that we see in this man, Daniel. And so I do believe that Daniel had someone, parents that were rearing him in the nature and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Excuse me. Now, Daniel's time, though, of living, much like many other in that time, the nation of Israel went into sin. We talked about this in recent days, the cycle that they would go in when we were looking at the life of Gideon last Sunday, if you were with us. Well, here we see in the nation of Israel that they were in that cycle, and God sent the Babylonians to conquer them. In fact, there were three times that they would come in and take people from Judah to Babylon. This was the first one in about 605 BC, and it was Daniel was in this group. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were in this group. We talked about them in recent days. And so he was taken to Babylon. This would be our modern-day Iraq. And so just to give you an idea of where that would have been in Daniel's day of compared to our day. Now, Daniel was immersed into the Babylonian culture as much as Daniel would allow himself to be immersed in it. Turn back in your Bibles with me just for a moment in Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. We find in Daniel's life that this isn't the outline, but we find in by way of introduction that Daniel was a very purposed man. He lived his life by purpose. And, I want to just pause here. We're going to go to Daniel chapter number 1. I want to just pause here and say that as we live our life for the Lord, having a godly testimony doesn't come by accident. Having a godly testimony doesn't just happen. We have to be purposed to have a godly testimony. We have to put some things in our life according to the Word of God that keep us from going astray, that keep us in the will of God. I believe we see in Daniel's life as a teenager, by the way, as a teenager, that in Daniel 1 and verse 8, you're there now, look at it with me if you would, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Let's just stop right there. If you don't have those words underlined in your Bible, I want to encourage you to underline them. Daniel purposed in his heart. That doesn't really matter what follows. It's important, yes, but I'm just saying this. Whatever it is today, I want to encourage you, purpose in your heart that you're going to be in the will of God. Purpose in your heart that you are going to be in the Word of God every day. Purpose in your heart that you're going to be praying to the God of heaven every day. Purpose in your heart that you're going to be living a holy, separated life. It is a decision that we must make. I believe Daniel made this decision, not just one time, but over and over and over again in his life. We don't succeed in the Christian life by accident. We have to do it on purpose. I mean, what an example that we have here from the Word of God. Here's something in my notes. It's not original, but the men and women who have changed the world are the men and women the world could not change. Think about that statement. The men and women who have changed the world are the men and women who the world could not change. I must say that unfortunately today in Christendom, we have many Christians that are being changed by the world. They're being changed by the philosophy of the world. They're being changed by the music of the world. They're being changed by the entertainment of the world. They're being changed by the way the world thinks. Look, friend, as a believer, as a child of God, we got a purpose in our heart. If we're going to make a difference, then we've got to be men and women and young people in college and career age and teenagers and grandmas and grandpas. We've got a purpose in our heart that this book is going to be our line of demarcation. We're not going past it. If the Bible doesn't give us the authority or the ability to do something or the green light to do something, we're going to refrain from it. Daniel purposed in his heart, Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, Daniel purposed that he would separate from the customs and the culture of the Babylonians. He recognized something. He recognized He recognized that as a child of God, if you were to participate in certain things of the Babylonians, it would defile him. You know, God saved you, God saved me, not to live a defiled life. God did not save me to continue to live in my sin. God did not save you to continue to live in your sin. No, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. God saved me to live a holy, separated life, not a holier-than-thou life. God saved me to abide by the fruit of the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit of God create those things in my life, not to be yielding to the lust of the flesh. And so Daniel recognized that because he was a child of God, he could not defile himself with the ways of the world. And by the way, the ways of the world are completely and diametrically opposed to the Word of God. There isn't anything in this world, the ways of the world, I'm saying, the philosophy of the world, that is in line with the Word of God. Not one thing. No, the world is contrary. Why? Because the Bible says that the father of this world, given control by our Heavenly Father, is the devil himself. He is the god of this world. There isn't anything. Yes, the devil knows the Word of God, but the devil's trying to get us to question the Word of God. The devil's trying to keep you from reading the Word of God. The devil doesn't want us to obey the Word of God. Trust and obey that thou mayest observe to do. Well, Daniel, what a great example of someone who purposed. Well, because of the way Daniel was living his life, this is an amazing thing. Chapter number 1, you're there. Look over at verse number 18. Some people began to take recognition of Daniel. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring, verse 18, bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like. Now, think about this. This is while they've been eating I don't know if it was a completely vegetarian diet, but while they weren't eating the king's meat, that's for sure. They were the only ones, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now they've come before the king, and the king says here, he doesn't see anyone like these four men. Now think about this. Here's a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar. And yet their testimony has spoken to the king. God, the king has taken note of these men. Notice, and that none were like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, verse 19, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. What an amazing time this must have been. Verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them. Well, I'd mark that in my Bible. I'd mark that in my heart. King Nebuchadnezzar inquires, gets counsel from, speaks to about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these Hebrew teenagers that had been taken captive. I think those other three guys must have had some godly influences as well in their life. And here is the king, because they purposed in their heart, because they separated themselves from the world, here is the king inquiring of them. Notice, he found them 10 times better. Amazing. Then all the magicians and all the astrologers, everybody that Nebuchadnezzar had in his realm, verse 20, these young bucks were 10 times better. Why? Because they purposed in their heart that they were going to stand for the Lord. You know what? Takes grace to stand. You know, many of you, maybe not quite like this, but many of you, maybe many of us, we have experienced this grace of God as we stand for the Lord. Obviously, right now, no one's going to school, but going to school in a public school, I must imagine that you need the grace of God to stand. In the work environment where maybe many are unsaved, it takes grace to stand for God. It really doesn't matter what the scene is. It takes grace to stand. Well, Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to live a separated life. Now, to me, I look at this as a single decision that changed the course of Daniel's life forever. Think about it, a single decision. I don't mean to be discouraging this afternoon, but you know, a single decision can destroy your life. A single decision can destroy my life. I was thinking about this as I thought about a single decision. Daniel's a teenager. Now, when we're going to look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 in just a few moments. That's going to be 65 or so years later in Daniel 6. Right now, he's a teenager, but he's purposed that he's going to to live for God. He's purposed that he's going to honor God. Now you think about some singular decisions that we make in our life that could cause us great grief. Now think about this. Praise the Lord for the wife that God has given me. That's a pretty important decision, is it not? That's a single decision that the mate that God has for us, the mate that we choose, we want to choose the mate that God has for us is what I mean by that. Because if we choose the wrong mate for our life, that's a singular decision that could really cause a lot of problems in our life. Now, God is graceful. Maybe many of you are watching today and you have experienced divorce and yet God has been graceful to your life. I am in no way trying to be unkind to anyone. I'm just saying you too would agree, though, that choosing the right mate is a very, very important decision. There's so many others. That's just the one that came to mind here just standing here before you today and sharing what God has laid on my heart was be careful because every singular decision, you know, moving your family from point A to point B because of a new job, make sure that it's the will of God. Well, here's a teenager. A singular decision was made. And 65 years have passed and now we see Daniel in a very interesting situation. Daniel chapter 6, as we go back, Daniel is now in charge of the treasury of Babylon. What an amazing turn of events. Why is this? Well, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says that an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. And because of his promotion, not everyone of his contemporaries, not every one of the presidents and princes that knew Daniel were giving Daniel a round of applause. Great job, Daniel. We're glad that you're in charge. No, they were upset about it. That brings us to our outline for today. So let's take a look at our outline. If you have the book there at home, if you're taking notes, number one, is an evil declaration. An evil declaration. It's for sure that every Christian faces trials. Every Christian faces attack without a doubt. That's what I was trying to think of just a moment ago. That we will come to different rough seas of our life, and we're going to talk about rough seas in the 4 o'clock hour. That possibly it's a family situation, or it's a church situation, or it's a work situation, and it involves groups of people. Right now, a global situation that we're involved in. But this, I want you to understand something as we look at this passage today. This was an attack pointed at one man. Think about that for just a minute. This attack, yes, it was an overall attack, but it was pointed at one man, Daniel. There's no mention of Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah here. It's Daniel. This attack, this evil declaration is going right at Daniel. It's not generalized. It's directed right at Daniel. Letter A, we see an ungodly trial. An ungodly trial. Well, these men that did not like Daniel, they began to watch him. They began to see some things about him. They began to notice that he did things on schedule. That's a good thing. By the way, in these days, boy, keep your schedule as much as you possibly can. Don't let this new way of we have to live our life here for however knows how long. Don't get out of your schedule. Stay in the schedule that you have or have a schedule. Maybe you got to make a new one. Well, stay in the new one, whatever it may be. They began to watch Daniel. They began to see some things about Daniel that never varied. That's a good thing in Daniel's life. Some things in Daniel's life that never changed, and they began to have the green eye of jealousy. That's really what it was. And these men began to figure out a way. Now, why was it that they were jealous of Daniel? Well, a couple of things come to mind. Number one, it's not in the notes, but it's not in the outline. But number one, Daniel was a foreigner. Could have been a possibility. Think about this. Daniel wasn't from Babylon. Daniel was a Jew. This isn't where Daniel was born and brought up. These men, more than likely, probably were born and brought up there. I mean, they were Babylonian to the core. I mean, here's Daniel brought in by the king. Here's Daniel having an excellent spirit. Here's, you know, as we would say maybe in school days, you know, goody two-shoes Daniel. He never did anything wrong. He was he was Nebuchadnezzar's pet. Maybe we would say that. And they got jealous of Daniel. And so I believe that was part of it, that he was a foreigner. And I think, you know, Daniel was just had too much integrity. You know, they just didn't like it that Daniel did his job. They didn't like it that Daniel followed the rules. They didn't like it that Daniel followed what the king wanted him to do. They didn't like it that Daniel was a man of integrity. This was an ungodly trial. You know, as we live for Christ, you know, sometimes people are going to point the finger at us and say, we're the problem. It's that philosophy today that right is wrong and wrong is right. You know, the godly Christians are the problem. You godly Christians, you go to church, you do this, you do that. Now, sometimes we give them reason to point their finger at us because of the way we live our lives, and may that not be the case. But just because we're living a godly life doesn't mean that things aren't going to come our way that would be ungodly, just like Daniel faced. A man by the name of William Wilberforce strongly opposed slavery in the country of England many years ago. Time after time, Wilberforce was trying to get slavery abolished, which is a good thing. Finally, 15 years of opposition later, the bill that he presented passed in Parliament. Mr. Wilberforce was often hated and slandered, and yet the fruit of his life's investment continues to this day. An ungodly trial, letter A. Letter B is a faithful testimony. A faithful testimony. You know, Daniel faced the test. And what did they say about him? Let's look back down at verse number 4. You should have your Bible there. In the middle of the verse, I had you underline it earlier, it says they could find how many occasion? None. That's right. I heard you. I heard you all the way in Port Coquitlam. I heard you all the way in Coquitlam and Port Moody and Surrey and Vancouver and Chilliwack. I hope, Tony, you're listening right now. Tony Champier, that's for you right there. And wherever you're listening, I heard you say it. None. In other words, nothing could be found in Daniel's testimony to go to King Nebuchadnezzar and say, you know, hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, we found him doing this, we found him doing that, we found him doing this. Daniel's got to go. No, they found nothing on him. Nothing. The only thing they could find on him was in relation to his God, and we'll talk about that. What could we say about Daniel? I think we could say this. Daniel had established a good name. A good name. I would say if you were to go to the King Nebuchadnezzar back in that time, that he would say, yes, I know Daniel. Yes, Daniel's a good man. Daniel's a man of integrity. Daniel takes care of things. Daniel lives by schedule. Daniel's never caused me any problems. There's nothing. And again, Daniel was the sinner. Daniel had to be saved by grace. Daniel would look ahead, of course, to the coming Christ. You know, he wasn't perfect, but you know, as we read about the life of Daniel, you're going to have to really look long and hard to find something in the Bible that God records in Daniel's about Daniel's life that was in error, that was a fault. That's an amazing thing. Then, I mean, let's dig into Daniel's life and let's learn more about Daniel, a good name. How about Proverbs 22? Proverbs 22, what does it say over there? It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, I would say to you, and that's in Proverbs 22, verse number 1, let's be honest, everybody here would say, wow, great riches? We could use some great riches right now. Wait a minute. Really? Would we take $5,000 over a ruined name? Would we take $1 million in place of a ruined name? You know, I found this to be the case. It would take a long time to get a name that is in the dirt, meaning a name that is a poor character. I mean, somebody who's made a lot of bad decisions, and I'm not saying the grace of God can't lift us up out of the miry clay. Yes, I'm just saying that in the scheme of public opinion, let's just go that way, public opinion, somebody that has a bad name, it's going to take a lot of work to get that name reputable again. What I'm saying is, what's $1 million compared to a good name? Now, again, I know what $1 million is worth, but wait a minute. In the sight of a holy God, when we get to heaven someday, $1 million means absolutely nothing. None of it comes with us. But our good name on this earth could be the difference in someone getting saved, someone listening to the gospel. Oh, that guy over there, yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, I work with him. What is it about him? He's a good man. What about him? So Daniel had a good name. They couldn't find anything on Daniel. His testimony, he was trustworthy. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I wonder if someone took our life and put it under the microscope and tried to find something in my life, How hard would it take for them to look to find something? I have so many things that could be found in me that need to be fixed and need to be repaired. Yes, I have lots of them. Daniel, though, it says, this is what God wanted us to know. Daniel, nothing could be found in Daniel. Then, so letter A, an ungodly trial. Letter B, a faithful testimony. Letter C, a jealous trap. A jealous trap. Now, Daniel was someone that prayed to God three times a day. They knew this. The only way they figured that they could get Daniel was regarding this trap. So they went to the king, and they made a decree. Now the king had now it's Darius, King Darius, in chapter number 6. And they've gone to King Darius, and they say to him, as we read a moment ago, Darius, you know what? We've all got together, and we've all had a meeting, verse number 7. That's a lie. Daniel was obviously not included in this meeting. We've all got together and we come up with this plan that for 30 days, we want you to put a stamp right here, your stamp, your seal right here. Just put it down here that no one in the area of Babylon, no one in Babylon can pray to anyone except you. Man, you talk about somebody whose chest popped out. You talk about somebody who popped every button on his suit coat or on his robe, I guess it would have been. You talk about someone whose pride went to the ceiling. Darius said, oh, that sounds like a great plan. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. And boom, he signed it right there. You can see for yourself. We read that a moment ago. And it became the law of the Medes and the Persians, which meant it was not revocable. Well, that brings us to big point number two. Number one, an evil declaration. Number two, an earnest determination. Look, if you will, now at verse number 10. Verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew. To me, this is one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible about someone with determination, yes, but someone who is willing to stand. Many of you have read it before. Maybe some of you are reading it for the first time. I know I definitely miss seeing all of your faces. I want you to know that, Anchor Baptist Church family. And I know that many of you have only been saved for a short period of time. We're praying for you. We're here to help you. Please stay in contact with us. But maybe many of you have never read this verse before. I challenge you to read through these chapters this week, Daniel 6, Daniel 7. Try to get more of what we're saying. But here it says, Daniel knew that the king had put his stamp on that law. Daniel knew that if he prayed, he would be breaking the law. Now, this was a time where Daniel was justified in the sight of God for going against what the king had declared. Let's keep reading. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did, I love that word, aforetime. So in other words, Daniel hears about the signing. He hears about the decree. He doesn't change a thing. He continues along his path three times a day praying to Jerusalem. You know what Daniel could have done? Daniel could have gone to a place where no one could find him. And Daniel could have prayed three times a day, could he not? Daniel could have been an undercover follower of God for 30 days. You know, like many times how you and I live our life. We say we're a Christian, but whenever we're challenged about our faith, we all of a sudden go into our shell like a turtle. And we're not willing to stand up for the Lord. Daniel is a man of backbone. Daniel's a man of godly character. He continued to do what was right. He continued to pray to the God of heaven. He continued to live a dedicated, sold-out life. Letter A is a planned prayer. A planned prayer. This was not something that Daniel just started doing. He had done it aforetime. And that'd be a great word to underline. Daniel made a conscious decision. Remember, Daniel purposed in his heart in chapter 1. Now, 65 years later, Daniel has a decision to make again. But see, he's building on the decision as a teenager. He's been building on those decisions. This is why I say, wherever you're at in your life right now, whatever age you are, purpose in your heart to live for God. Purpose in your heart to say no to the flesh. Purpose in your heart to say yes to the Spirit. Purpose in your heart to be in the Word of God. Because you're making building blocks, and you're building them on, and you're putting them together, because 65 years from now, maybe, if you're still alive and I'm still alive and Christ hasn't come, there might be something that comes into your life or 10 years from now or 5 years from now that as you have built your life on the things of the Lord, you'll be able to have a backbone. And I'll be able to have a backbone like Daniel, that even though the writing was signed, it was a planned prayer. Daniel stayed at it. Daniel continued to do what he knew was right. Daniel consciously chose to put God above everything else. Now, we read of this as well. If you have your Bible, turn quickly to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. And it's in your notebook, if you have the notebook. Acts 5:29, the Bible says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey who? God.'" I heard you. Yeah. "We ought to obey God rather than men." That's exactly what Daniel chose to do. Obey God rather than men. Notice he prayed publicly toward Jerusalem. What is the significance of that? Well, just jot this reference down if you're taking notes. I'm not even going to take the time to read it, but jot this passage down. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36 to 39. 2 Chronicles 6, 36 to 39. Basically, Solomon dedicates the temple, and there's something in that passage that talks about if the land comes into captivity, that when they would pray toward their land. You'll find that in verse number 38. So there's a significance in why Daniel is praying toward Jerusalem. A planned prayer. Now, Daniel, I don't want to miss this. 65 years, Daniel had been praying in Jerusalem. 65 years. He's not in Babylon. Excuse me, I said that wrong. He's been in Babylon for 65 years. He's been in a pagan land. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not where he grew up. For 65 years, he's been praying faithfully to the God of heaven. You know, many of us know the end of this particular Bible event and how God miraculously delivered him. And we would say, boy, I need some miracles like that in my life. How about praying for 65 years? I need some deliverance in my life like Daniel in the lion's den. How about praying to God when it's not popular? How about praying to God when it's illegal? How about many of our brothers and sisters around the world who have always met in underground churches and might always meet in underground churches for the sake of their own life, who are willing to risk their life for the cause of Christ? You know, dare to be a Daniel, like the song said that I mentioned a few moments ago. Dare to stand for the Lord. This is someone who stood for the Lord. It's no wonder to me, as I read more about Daniel the last couple of weeks, it's no wonder to me that the Lord shut the mouths of the lion. Because this was a man who already had been walking with God. This wasn't a man who all of a sudden got in a 911 situation and said, I don't know what to do. I got to start praying now. No, this is somebody that for 65 years, three times a day, they couldn't find any fault in Daniel except against his God. Letter B, it was not only letter A, a planned prayer. Letter B, it was a prepared persecution. The officials assembled at Daniel's house, verse number 11. See that there? "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." They knew where Daniel was going to be. They knew what Daniel was going to be doing. They just waited for it to happen. They just waited for Daniel to pray. And you know what? They knew Daniel was going to do it too. I really believe that. Why? Because they could find no fault in him. There wasn't anything else they could try to get Daniel on. Immediately, the Bible says in verses 12 to 13 that they go right to King Darius and say, "Hey, Darius, good to see you today." I love what it says there verse 12. "Then came they near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast not thou signed a petition?" And blah, blah, blah. And they read it. And it's the law of the Medes and the Persians now. And by the way, verse 13, Daniel broke the law. Now, that's paraphrasing it a little bit. I think they knew how precious Daniel was in the sight of Darius. I think they knew what Darius thought of him. And yet here they are. It was a prepared persecution. So number one, we have an evil declaration. Number two, we have an earnest determination. And lastly, I think we're going to be able to finish this today, we have an exceptional deliverance. An exceptional deliverance. Let's drop down to verse number 18, please. Daniel 6:18. "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." By the way, before we read any further, slide back up in your Bible to verse number 16. "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God. I've underlined those two words in my Bible. Thy God. Again, here's a pagan king. Thy God. You see, I believe Daniel's testimony caused Darius to say something like that. Daniel, your God. In other words, what about your God? Whom thou servest continually. That's a key word, isn't it? Oh, that God would give us some continually serving pastors. I want to be that. Oh, that God would give us some continually serving men and women. I want to be one. Oh, that God would give us some continually serving teenagers and college and career young people and single adults and grandmas and grandpas, that we would be known as someone who continually serves God, that in this day in which we live, on this 29th day of March 2020, never in our wildest imaginations did we plan when the year began to be meeting this way, but that we would continually serve the Lord no matter what. Daniel, your God, whom you've continually served, what did he say? He will deliver thee. Almost casually, you know? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't casual to Daniel, but almost casual. Hey, Daniel, thy God, who you've been serving for 65 years, thy God, who you've been faithfully praying to three times a day, he'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. And yes, Daniel ends up in the lion's den. Verse number 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. Darius did not want to have to do this, but he could not change the law. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. That's a neat word right there, isn't it? Living God. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I wonder how long there was a pause between verse 20 and 21. Now, there's no pause in our reading it, but maybe there was a little pause. Drum roll, please, right? Just kidding. Then Daniel said, O king, live forever. I can only imagine what it must have been like for Darius to be at the lion's den before, however it went, at the opening of the lion's den, excuse me, and to hear somebody speak. Obviously, it wasn't a lion. They don't speak. It was Daniel. O king, live forever. Letter A, we see a concerned king. A concerned king. No, by no means was Darius a godly man, but Darius was definitely a concerned man. Darius, I believe, was someone who, I don't know if I would use the word love, but maybe he did love Daniel. He definitely respected Daniel. He definitely was concerned that Daniel would live through this. Letter B, we see a protected prophet. Notice verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. What a statement. Before him. Who's him? God. Before God, innocency was found in me. Daniel, not sinless, but Daniel was right with God. Daniel had a godly relationship or a good relationship with a holy God. And also before thee, O king. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes we get so, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to live for God, that we run over the law of the land. And that's not right either. There's got to be a biblical approach to all of these things. That's why we're meeting like we are today. We're trying to do our best to follow the guidelines that have been given to us by our Darius, quote unquote. Okay? We want to have a good name in the community. Now, we're not compromising truth. But here Daniel makes an amazing statement. He says, not only was innocency found in me before my God, but also before you, O king. I have done no hurt. Wow, what a relationship Daniel had. He knew God. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Daniel 3:17. Just stay right there in your passage. There's what the three Hebrew children said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Wow, great deliverance. God does not always spare us from persecution, but God is always glorified through the persecution. Go with me, if you will, as we close the lesson to Psalm chapter 18. Maybe this is a verse that you've read in recent days. Psalm chapter number 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Boy, Daniel was a man who stood for God. Daniel was a man who lived his life on and with purpose. Daniel was a man who early on in his life said, I want to be faithful to my God. And we see 6 decades later, what do we see? A man still faithful to his God. What do we see? We see a man miraculously delivered from the mouths of the lions. What do we see? We see a man who had an excellent spirit in him. Oh, may God, in our day in which we live, may God help us to be believers with an excellent spirit. May God help us to be believers that are purposed to stay away from the world, that are purposed to come out from among the world, that are purposed to live in this book, that are purposed to glorify our God. Now, what is it going to take? It's going to take God's grace. Oh, we don't just get saved by grace. If we're going to stand, we're going to stand by grace. Dare to be a Daniel. How do you dare to be a Daniel? By God's grace.